Inside the police car, Sarah held her daughter's hand from across the seat. She tried to comfort Annabelle, who was hiccuping from her long crying bout and was only now starting to calm down. It was close to an hour before a sound wave landed, placing the saline on the ground.
Mommy? Daddy and Ironhide save us?
Yes, sweetie, they'll come for us.
The seatbelts unfastened, and the Decepticon opened his doors.
Get out, and just try to run, fleshies. I'd love to chase you down.
Sarah cautiously slid out and slowly walked around the front of the cop car. When Annabelle hopped out, Sarah held her close. Quickly, Sarah took in their surroundings. There were lots of coniferous trees and large boulders, indicating they were in the mountains. A sheer rock face loomed ahead, forming a kind of natural outcropping, while a churning river hissed off to their back.
Cease bonding ritual and move.
The woman glared at the emotionless red visor but began marching briskly. The two Decepticons flanked them. Sarah's head jerked up when three fighter jets skirted the treetops and arced around to face them. Simultaneously, the jets flipped over and transformed into huge metal brutes with broad wings spanning their shoulder blades. Metal scraped rock as the trio landed on the outcropping high above, crimson optics glaring down at them. More Decepticons. One of the dusty tan jets leaned forward, his raptor-like feet gripping the rock.
So you brought the flesh creatures?
Alive, as you ordered.
Abruptly, the three jet Decepticons leaped from their high vantage and landed on the ground in front of them. Sarah yelped as the quaking force of their landing threw her off her feet with Annabelle in her lap. Starscream strode forward, his wingtips rocking back and forth in an arrogant swagger. Sarah clenched her daughter tightly, noting his lethal armaments and tremendous size.
I am Starscream, exalted leader of the Decepticons.
Well, what do you want from us?
What would I possibly want from a puny, insignificant creature like you?
Then why did you kidnap us?
You and your spawn will be very useful to me. Soundwave, see that our prisoners are cared for.
Ravage Rumble. Eject. Operation. God-human prisoners.
The drones leaped out, landing gracefully. Sarah staggered to her feet, keeping Annabelle as far from the little metal menaces as she possibly could. Ravage stalked at them, forcing them back under the rock outcropping. Rumble took a position on a rock. Not knowing what else to do, Sarah sat down, cradling her daughter.
Soundwave, contact Ironhide and make sure you block any other Autobots from hearing the transmission. I'd like to extend him an invitation to his own termination.
Ironhide's hood was shimmering with heat waves as he plowed across the countryside. He'd searched for over 13 hours, incessantly checking his sensor monitors for any sign of Decepticons. His sensors detected nothing. Each hour that passed weighed heavily on the weapons specialist, making his rage burn even hotter in his spark chamber. But the guilt over his failure tore at him the worst. But was it his failure, or something else?
Well, well, if it isn't the infamous Autobot weapons specialist, Ironhide.
Ironhide transformed, nearly rolling himself as his ire threatened to strangle any diplomatic words.
Starscream, you sparkless scrap heap! How the slag did you get on this channel?
My communications specialist is very talented.
Where are they?
Patience, Autobot. You'll know soon enough.
You worthless cur! I'll meet you and all your mainframe rejects anytime! Anywhere!
Temper, temper. That nasty little disposition of yours doesn't bode well for the condition of my prisoners.
If you so much as scratch Sarah or Annabelle, I'll blow you into so many pieces, no scanner will be able to find your atoms.
Then you will do precisely as I say, or your precious humans will pay the price.
What do you want, Starscream?
Just you. Your weapon system's deactivated, your communications line silent, and you completely alone. Defy my terms, and your little humans will suffer the consequences.
I will comply. Only if Sarah and Annabelle are freed, unharmed, and allowed to leave without any resistance.
Done. Be at these coordinates within 3 hours.
The topographical map flashed into Ironhide's mainframe, revealing the rendezvous point. Then the line went silent. The Autobot's rage vibrated the very plating of his body. Ironhide looked at his cannons, his most prized possessions. He never had to face Decepticons without them. Ironhide briefly felt torn to actually disarm them, but then he thought of Sarah and Annabelle, helpless in the Decepticons' clutches. They needed him more than he needed his cannons. As one, the monstrous weapons powered down, disappearing into the compartments on Ironhide's forearms. He darkened his optics in an almost pained way and severed his connection with the weapons. A massive gust of pressure and nitrogen gases blew out as both cannons detached. Ironhide's spark fell, hearing his cannons hit the dirt, but he knew what he had to do. Somehow, Annabelle had fallen asleep in her mother's lap. Sarah remained awake, ever watchful of their Decepticon guards. Though she was very tired and running low on adrenaline reserves, she was determined to stay awake. She smacked unpleasantly her tongue, feeling like leather in her mouth. Annabelle woke up, stretching.
Annie, are you okay?
Thirsty, Mommy.
Me too, baby. Stay right behind Mommy.
The woman lurched to her feet, making her guards' heads perk.
Hey, you, Soundwave, we're thirsty.
Soundwave turned his head minutely.
Yeah, you. We need hydration. H2O, our fluids are running low. Any of that computing?
Rumble suddenly surged forward, shoving Sarah against the rock face. He pulled a threatening fist back.
Hey, no way she talks to Soundwave like that. I oughta...
Rumble, stand down.
The belligerent drone backed away as Soundwave stepped closer to Sarah. The woman did her best to hold her ground as he bent down toward her, a band of light passing over his visor.
Hydration levels low. Dehydration imminent. Ravage Rumble, take the humans to water and bring them back.
The drones obeyed, flanking the humans. Sarah melded Annabelle to her side as they crept forward.
Thank you.
Gratitude not required.
The girls walked slowly with Ravage and Rumble trailing them. Light was just beginning to glow over the horizon. Soon they reached a small river roaring down the mountainside. They knelt down, drinking the icy water greedily. Unbeknownst to them, Rumble had reformed his hands into pile drivers and were positioning behind them. Suddenly, he struck the ground, shaking Annabelle into the river.
Swim, fleshling!
Annabelle!
Sarah desperately reached for her daughter, but the swift current easily swept the child out of her reach. Before she could dive in, Ravage seized the backside of her jeans, held her underneath his paws. Helpless, she watched her daughter's head get swallowed by the foamy rushing water.
No! My baby! My baby!
Sarah spotted Annabelle's head poke up briefly and then disappear. Never in her life had she felt so helpless. Her baby girl was going to drown and she was unable to prevent it. Sarah continued to scream as one of the massive jet Decepticons strode into view, snapping off trees with his broad metal wings. Unlike Starscream, this one had blue-tinted plating.
All right, what's going on here?
It ain't true, Thundercracker. Humans can't swim.
What?
Sarah was about to scream again, but much to her astonishment, Thundercracker briskly marched down the river, uttering something in Cybertronian. In only a few strides, the big Jetcon had gotten ahead of Annabelle and knelt down on the riverbank. He watched the life and death drama for a moment. When the child went under again, Thundercracker quickly fished her out, water cascading through his metal fingers. Sarah clenched her chest with terror until she heard the sputtering coughs of her child. Annabelle was alive, but for how much longer? Thundercracker brought the tiny human to his eye level. Annabelle stopped coughing and whimpering, shivering in the palm of his hand. Part of Thundercracker was disgusted by the squishy, wingless scrap of flesh, and yet he was oddly intrigued by it. Forgetting his petty curiosities, Thundercracker lightly closed his hand and turned back to Rumble.
What's the big idea, Rumble? You almost killed a prisoner, you glitched half-chip.
Ah, we've got two of them. Who cares if one of them shuts down? Since when do you give two bolts about fleshies?
Dead prisoners are worthless, and besides, you don't have the authority to kill them, you stupid midget.
Hey, who you calling a midget?
The smaller Khan reformed his arms into pile drivers, and Thundercracker responded in turn by aiming a huge arm cannon at him.
Just try it, runt. Why don't you run along to your master before I send a Rumble-sized pile of metal shavings back to him?
Rumble was about to charge when his communicator beeped. Soundwave was calling him back. Still in a rage, Rumble reformed his hands, made a rude gesture, and ran back to his master with Ravage bounding behind him.
Fleshy lover.
Once the drones had left, Thundercracker unfurled his fingers from around Annabelle. The little girl squeaked with fright, hiding her face when she saw the large red optics glaring at her. The Decepticon made a short snort of disgust and briskly scooped up Sarah as well. He walked a short distance and put them on the ground near Soundwave.
Keep control, your little parasite, Soundwave. An idiot Rumble almost cost us a prisoner.
Mind your own business. Your guard shift began 2,000 astroseconds ago.
Yeah. Send me the reprimand forms when you get a chance.
As you wish.
Soundwave hummed, tipping his head toward the jet. Without warning, the most horrendous, ear-splitting vibration shook the air. Sarah and Annabelle fell to the ground screaming, trying to cover their ears. The big blue Khan roared with pain and fell back against the trees as his very circuitry bore the brunt of the vibration. Then, as quickly as it had begun, the thunderous noise ceased. Annabelle threw up. Sarah had to force herself not to, though her senses were spinning.
Reprimand complete. resume your duties.
As he walked away, Thundercracker leaned forward, snarling with a deadly flash in his optics. The Seeker shifted his jet thrusters around his torso until they were pointed at Soundwave's back like twin guns.
Hey, Soundwave, reprimand this!
The communications officer turned. In an instant, the air temperature spiked around Thundercracker's body, heat produced by his thrusters. His afterburners flashed. Soundwave was thrown on his back. Without a word, Soundwave rose and slowly lifted his arms, exposing what looked like large amplifiers. His head tipped downward in an aggressive way. A mild vibration began until a purple explosion rained down from above and tore up the earth between them.
Enough! What is all this nonsense? You're supposed to be guarding my prisoners!
Thundercracker scooped up the humans.
Here are prisoners, your worship.
Starscream's red optics glinted, and in an instant he leveled his null ray cannon squarely at the Seeker's head.
Your insolence is noted, Thundercracker.
Hey, easy, Starscream. I was just...
Get on your knees, you incompetent waste of alloy, and address me properly.
Annabelle covered her face from Starscream's fearsome look, shrinking into Thundercracker's fist with a whimper. Sarah tensed, holding her breath, knowing any blast from that huge weapon would probably kill all three of them. Thundercracker grudgingly lowered himself to his knees, his optics burning along with his pride.
Here are your prisoners, Lord Starscream.
Starscream narrowed his optic shutters and slowly brought the tip of his null ray to Thundercracker's forehead.
There now, see what a little respect can get you? You get to keep functioning. Since you seem so fond of the human prisoners, you may transport them to the meeting place.
Yes, sir.
Starscream, I see the Autobot. He can't be more than 15 kilometers from the attack zone.
All Decepticons, transform and follow me!
Thundercracker venomously watched his self-proclaimed leader fly off, mimicking his order.
Bring the humans!
Stupid pompous scraphead!
Pulling a face of disgust, Thundercracker opened his cockpit and stuffed the prisoners inside. Then he took off to join his comrades. When Ironhide arrived at the rendezvous point, out in the middle of a field, he didn't even bother stopping before he transformed and skidded to an earth-tearing halt. The Autobot ground his jaw pistons as Skywarp, Thundercracker, Soundwave, and Starscream surrounded him. His optics darted with caution, trying to keep his sensors locked on the four large Decepticons, just in case they decided to attack from all sides. None of them made a move.
Look at that. The mighty Ironhide without a cannon on his arms.
I will need cannons to beat the likes of you.
Ironhide's gaze intently fixed on Thundercracker when he saw the two humans locked in his cockpit. For the briefest instant, Ironhide's spark throbbed, relieved his two charges were alive and relatively unharmed. Now he just had to get them out of there without harming either one of them. His blue optics flashed as his shoulders rolled forward menacingly.
Release them now, and I'll let you leave in one piece.
You will address me, Autobot, not my underlings.
I've complied with your demands, so release Sarah and Annabelle now.
You are in no position to order me, Autobot. The flesh creatures are inconsequential. They've done their job of luring you here and making you disarmed. Now they're even more worthless.
Ironhide narrowed his optics disdainfully.
What, Starscream? Can't take me disarmed? You still need hostages? I never recall Megatron needing hostages when facing one unarmed Autobot.
Starscream lowered his head dangerously, null rays lit with a dull whine. Starscream never could take being compared to Megatron, especially when his former leader outshined him in every possible way.
Terminate him!
Needing no second bidding, Skywarp bowled into Ironhide like an oncoming train, sending shutters clear into the ground. The Black Autobot growled deeply, tearing up the ground with his feet and bearing the con off with both arms. Suddenly, he bent his body backward. Skywarp flew over his right shoulder. In an instant, Ironhide turned on Thundercracker and grasped the con's forearms. The Black Autobot pierced the con with a murderous glare.
Release him!
Thundercracker snarled and extended his battle claws, slashing at the Autobot and throwing him back. Before Ironhide could counter, a speeding police cruiser slammed into his metal ankles, throwing him off balance. Arms spiraling to maintain his equilibrium, the Autobot let loose a roar of pain as jagged metal claws buried deeply into his chest armor. Barricade's quadruple red optics bored into the larger mechs as he drove the Autobot back, forcing his razor claws toward the spark casing. Ironhide's optics flashed brighter. With a mighty swing of his arm, the black mech bashed the side of the Decepticon's head, throwing bits of silver metal into the air. Barricade snarled in pain, but stubbornly clamped his hydraulic hands firmly into Ironhide's chassis. Energon spattered to the ground. The weapons specialist reversed the strike, belting the other side of the Khan's jagged face. Again and again, Ironhide swung his arm, sending face shrapnel tinkling to the dirt, until Barricade finally released him and collapsed. His crimson optics flickered, trying feebly to remain on, until Ironhide stomped down in the middle of his back, severing the connection from his mainframe to his legs. The Khan groaned gutturally until his optics dimmed. Skywarp suddenly charged again. Claws flared, readying himself. Ironhide squared up his body for a powerful punch, but just as the Seeker came inches from his strike, he disappeared. Ironhide lunged forward, hitting nothing but air.
Go slay!
Skywarp reappeared behind him and planted a boot straight across the back of his head. Before Ironhide could counter, the Khan disappeared again.
Slagger! Fight me like a real mech!
Suddenly, the Decepticon reappeared, smashing a fist into Ironhide's face.
Can I help it if you're too old and slow to catch me, Autobot?
Leaping into the air, Skywarp transformed into his jet mode and Thundercracker followed suit. Blasting up into the sky, the pair wheeled around in perfect sync, mere inches apart. In one choreographed swoop, they dove straight for Ironhide.
Let's take him for a ride, TC.
They slammed into the Autobot with untold tons of force, gouging their wingtips into the plating under his arms and soaring upward, towing the Autobot between them. Ironhide's pain receptors erupted, crackling as the jet wings tore into his armor. Skywarp cackled with glee.
Think we can teach an Autobot to fly?
Only one way to find out.
Both jets rolled gracefully in a wide upside-down arc, throwing Ironhide in a tight circle and cutting his armor even more. From inside Thundercracker's cockpit, Annabelle and Sarah watched the vicious battle unfold. They were gonna kill Ironhide. Sarah began to panic. With adrenaline-fueled force, she slammed her heel into the radar screen in front of her. The screen cracked and the whole panel flashed with an electric charge. Thundercracker suddenly flinched, falling back with a roar of pain. The Black Khan's retreat pulled his wing out of Ironhide's plating. His wingman, Skywarp, spun off balance to bear all the Autobot's weight.
Slag, TC, what's wrong with you?
Seeing his chance, Ironhide reached up and grabbed Warp's wing. Then, he reached around and gripped something under a panel in his back. Before Skywarp could react, Ironhide stuffed a metal orb into the Decepticon's cockpit. Skywarp tried to transform, but only got halfway before the orb flashed, coating his top with a bluish-white substance. The Khan instantaneously froze in mid-transformation.
Liquid nitrogen bombs, but you were unarmed.
As the Decepticon began to plummet straight for the mountains below, Ironhide smirked.
He'll call me a weapon specialist just for my cannon.
Slag you, Autobot.
Ironhide turned himself around and pointed his body toward Thundercracker several hundred feet below. He was on Thundercracker in an instant, one foot on each wing and a hand gripping his jet nose. The Blue Khan grunted under the extra weight, trying to maintain a flight path. Suddenly, Ironhide clenched the edge of Thundercracker's cockpit and forced it open. The Decepticon roared in agony and started to transform just as Ironhide fetched the two humans out. Thundercracker rolled over, throwing Ironhide off of him. He tried to straighten himself out and fire at the offending Autobot, but the horrible pang in his cockpit was too much to bear as he too plummeted. Ironhide held Sarah and Annabelle with both hands, relief smothering his spark, even though wind shrieked through his plating as the unforgiving ground yawed up at them. Every pathway in his mainframe flooded with sudden panic. He knew the impact in his robot form would inevitably kill both humans. They weren't going to die, not if he had anything to say about it. Quickly, he shifted Sarah and Annabelle to a particular spot on his upper arm.
Hang on to me!
Sarah closed her eyes, and in an instant, Ironhide transformed into his truck form, leaving her clutching the inside door. With a quick slam, the truck door shoved both girls into the safety of the cab. Sarah gasped frenetically, rubbing panicked hands all over Annabelle's back and hair before lowering her eyes to the floor.
Oh God, oh God!
Sarah, it's all right! I won't let anything happen to you!
Through the windshield, the ground drew closer. Sarah's eyes widened when suddenly the entire cab began to rearrange itself around both her and Annabelle. Parts of the leather seat folded over and around them, encasing them in a tight padded box. Claustrophobia gripped Sarah as the soft leather compressed them, making movement impossible.
Get ready!
Time stood still. Ironhide tilted vertical to keep as much of him between the ground and his humans as possible. Ironhide spotted Starscream blasting toward him from below. The falling top kick righted itself to face the dangerous F-22. Muzzle flashes flickered from the jet, sending a hail of laser bolts straight into Ironhide's armor. Wincing, Ironhide opened a panel near his right headlight.
Come on, Starscream. Let's see what your mainframe looks like.
Starscream barreled toward him, his null cannon heating up for a death blow. When the Decepticon came within a few hundred yards of him, Ironhide ejected another metal orb from the space near his headlight. Starscream tried to roll right, but the projectile exploded with a blinding flash. Starscream's radar suddenly went black. Screaming, the Jetcon rolled away, just barely missing Ironhide. Ironhide instantly repositioned himself. He could feel Sarah and Annabelle encased securely within his newly reformed cab. Ironhide braced himself. With a mighty bang, the top kick hit the ground. Rolling wildly end over end across the field, tearing up the dirt, denting the black plating until it came to a stop on its top several yards from the tree line. Sarah and Annabelle could feel the movement and hear the horrendous sounds of the crash. Both of them screamed as the soft black leather pressed them firmly in place until all movement stopped. Like a muscle relaxing, the leather retreated from them. Annabelle was crying and trembling uncomfortably, as was Sarah, but they were alive. Sarah patted the leather above her.
Ironhide, are you all right?
Silence answered her.
Oh my god, Ironhide! Ironhide, answer me! Are you all right?
I hurt. Are you both undamaged?
We're fine.
Slowly, the leather box unfolded, letting the girls out.
Hurry, before they circle around.
Shakily, the two females crawled out of the upside-down top kick, which painfully transformed. Ironhide was on his side as he slowly propped himself up with his hands. Sarah could see the massive dents and gouges in his metal, as well as a luminescent glowing substance covering his sides. Sarah tried to touch him, but his hands barred her.
Don't worry about me.
But you're hurt. Let me help you.
Sarah, if you want to help me, take Annabelle and run as fast as you can. That way.
No, we won't leave you here. We're going together.
I go with you. The Decepticons will follow. They won't go after you if I stay here.
Still crying, Annabelle grabbed his forefinger with both hands, tugging vainly.
Come on, Ironhide.
The Black Autobot smiled as he only would for Annabelle. His fingers curled around her, gently stroking her back.
It'll be all right, Annabelle. Go with your mother and run as far as you can. Can you do that for old Ironhide?
You come too!
I'll be right behind you.
Sarah knew he was lying. He was going to stay and fight the Decepticons. She took Annabelle's hand and opened her mouth to speak, but Ironhide gently nudged them toward the trees with the back of his hand.
Go! Run! Get as far away as you can!
They ran into the trees. Annabelle craned her head backwards, slowing down. Ironhide was painfully standing.
Come on, Ironhide!
But the big black Autobot just turned away, moving in the opposite direction.
No! Wrong way! Ironhide!
Ironhide had to override his urges to follow them. Annabelle calling his name was enough to shred his spark. His optics flickered a moment, but he set his jaw and faced the sky for his enemies. The flash bombs would only disrupt Starscream's sensors for a few minutes, and then he'd be back in the fight. Ironhide knew he was damaged from the fall, but all of his limbs were still functioning. He didn't have much time. Ironhide reached down for his left ankle plating and pulled off a cylindrical device. Then he pulled a half-moon-shaped gadget from under his right shoulder blade. Expertly, he clicked the two pieces together and twisted. The device glowed blue, shifting and rearranging with transformation until it formed an unusual oval with prongs protruding from either end. He stared at the device pensively.
No. Not yet.
He deactivated the device and tucked it into a compartment under his shoulder armor. He almost allowed himself a smug snicker, but quickly quelled it in light of his dire situation. Ready, he waited for the cons. Soundwave suddenly descended, landed skillfully in a crouched position, one hand out in front for balance. His crimson visor flashed. Ironhide didn't wait for the Decepticon to strike. Charging headlong, Ironhide lowered his shoulder and slammed into the mech. The bluish con dug his feet into the ground, absorbing the impact and stopping Ironhide's rough charge. Soundwave grabbed Ironhide's shoulder and drove his knee joint straight into the plating over the Autobot's spark. The black mech fell back to clench his ringing chest plates, when suddenly, a horrible vibration rocked his circuits. Ironhide bent over, holding his crested head in agony. His circuit shivered, his plating rang with a metallic keen, and his optics flickered on and off sporadically. The pain was horrendous, like his body was shaking itself apart. He dropped to his knees, desperate to escape the sound. Through the din, the Autobot could make out Soundwave's distorted image. A few meters away, the crimson visor dominating the obscure blob of color. Then, he went offline. When his sensors finally cleared, Ironhide could feel cruel metal talons digging into his abdomen. He tried to move, but his motor responses were still sluggish. Standing over him was Starscream, and Soundwave was off to the left.
So, you're still online.
Why don't you just get it over with, Starscream?
In good time, Autobot. I just thought you should get to see exactly who was going to extinguish your miserable spark.
Better Decepticons than you have tried for eons to offline me.
Starscream's fierce optics slit. He viciously slashed his claws across Ironhide's face.
And for eons, I thought the mighty Ironhide was indestructible. Ironic, it took a couple puny flesh creatures to bring you to ruin.
Ironhide suddenly bellowed with pain as something struck his right ankle supports. He could just make out the figure of Rumble near his legs. The little Khan swinging his pile drivers again, bending another piece of framework in the veteran's leg. Ironhide clenched his mandible plates as fresh pain burned his circuitry. If only he could move.
Were they worth it, Ironhide? Was your termination worth saving their pathetic existence?
Ironhide roared in agony as the metal of his arm was smashed.
All right, Rumble, that's enough.
Hey, why do you get you offline?
Starscream's foot suddenly swung around and booted the small Decepticon several yards away.
Because I am your supreme leader, you glitch!
Enraged, the bluish-silver Khan flew through the air, bashing one of his pile drivers into the backward bend of Starscream's leg. Starscream shrieked with pain, stumbling off of Ironhide as the miniature brawler attacked the backs of his wings. The big jet shrieked again and spun around, striking Rumble with a vicious, powerful backhand that sent the small mech spinning through the air. Pieces of metal flew off of Rumble as he landed in a sparkling heap.
How dare you challenge me?
Starscream stalked over to the fallen drone to deliver more punishment. The Seeker's head fell slightly until the sound stopped.
Back off, Starscream.
Starscream raised his null ray and blasted Soundwave, sending the communications specialist crashing to his back.
Traitor! No one challenges me! No one!
Ironhide slowly felt motor control returning as he painfully sat up. Starscream shot at Soundwave again. The agile mech somersaulted backward, dodging the bullets. His visor flashed.
I'll teach you to defy me!
Soundwave quickly maneuvered to scoop up Rumble and deposited him back in his chest compartment. Starscream shot him again, this time in the side, just below his chest compartment. Soundwave righted himself and lifted his arms, exposing a set of amplifiers. Starscream shrieked as a blast of mainframe rattling decibel threw him off his feet, crackling his cockpit and chest plating. Somehow, he leveled his wrist weapons at the bluish-gray mech and shot him in one of his amplifiers. Soundwave held the smoking forearm, careful to keep his chest compartment out of the direct line of fire. He looked up at Starscream but suddenly noticed Ironhide standing up behind the JetCon. Though his right leg and arm were severely mangled, the Autobot forced himself up, reached under his chest armor, and pulled out a plasma bomb. Soundwave recognized the powerful weapon and backed up a step. A foreign alarm flooding his circuits. Ironhide twisted the cylindrical prongs in his opposite directions, making the device glow and shift with transformation. Starscream had noticed Ironhide. Not wasting any time, Soundwave launched off the ground, flying away fast. Starscream smirked, firing off a couple rounds after the fleeing Khan.
That's what you get for defying me, you coward!
You know that's funny coming from you, Starscream.
Starscream whirled around, optics flashing.
So, you still haven't learned the meaning of pain, Autobot?
The Decepticon suddenly noticed the glowing device in Ironhide's hand, and it nearly fried his processors.
Is that a...
A plasma bomb? Yes, and she's got your spark signature written all over her.
You're insane. You'll be destroyed too.
You made a deadly mistake when you threatened my family, Starscream, because their lives are worth more than my termination.
The two squared off until finally Starscream bolted into the sky, transforming. Ironhide winced as he leaned back and chucked the plasma bomb after Starscream's fleeing form. Tumbling end over end, the bomb flashed brighter. Starscream activated his afterburners, desperately trying to plow some distance from the terrible device. He didn't get far enough. Ironhide threw himself into the trees just as a hot blue plasma light blazed across the sky. The ground folded back like a blanket as the trees incinerated into wisps of black powder. Burning plasma rained its apocalyptic fire, consuming everything in its path. Cybertronian characters began to scroll across the blackness, reasserting their presence. The letters blinked off and the blackness parted in two distinct halves, bringing up coherent vision. The hyperactive cursor picked at each object, scrolling more Cybertronian words as the programming warmed itself up. Consciousness and pain. Ironhide groaned deeply, his cold vocalizer sparking to life awkwardly, his optics lit up gradually assessing his surroundings. The base. He was at the Autobot base.
Well, well. Look who decided to join the online. You've been in stasis for a week, Ironhide. You're lucky to even be online.
Sarah and Annabelle, all right?
They're just fine, thanks to you.
Where are they?
Bumblebee found them and brought them back to their home. I believe they're going to stay in your building until their new house is built.
Huh? Ratchet explained the events of the past week as he worked to help realign the damaged struts in Ironhide's leg. There wasn't much he could do other than brace them and bend them back into place. Ironhide's natural healing ability would do the rest.
No! The Decepticons know they live there. It's not safe. I've got to go to them.
Ironhide tried to get up, but Ratchet forcefully shoved him back down, jabbing a finger in his face.
No! You're going to remain here on base until you're fully repaired. Optimus is taking on your guardianship duties until you're fully functional. And his orders are to keep you here until that time.
Well, what's taking you so long? Get to work and fix me!
I can't fix most of this damage, Ironhide. It's just going to have to repair itself naturally.
What? Well, how long is that going to take?
As long as it takes. Now, settle down and rest. Your systems don't need that kind of pressure. Besides, Optimus is bringing the Lennoxes to the base to visit you later.
For an instant, Ironhide's spark felt like igniting and rocketing out of its casing, but then the iron door of his pride yanked it down.
No.
What do you mean, no? Don't you want to see them?
Of course I do, but I can't let them see me in this infirm state.
You're busted up, Ironhide. Not offline.
I might as well be.
Ratchet rapped him soundly on the head with a heavy wrench.
Oh, what a slag.
Would you offline your pride circuits for 2 astroseconds in your life? The Lennoxes have been worrying themselves sick about you for the past week, and now you want me to send them away because you don't want to be seen damaged.
Well, what are they going to think of me? I'm so fragged and helpless. I can't even stand up.
I'll send them away if you really want me to. But you should know. Optimus reports Annabelle has cried every night because she misses you.
That struck Ironhide straight through his spark core. He blinked at the medic and stared at his damaged limbs. His lower mandible slid to the side with a creak.
You don't have to send them away.
With that, Ratchet resumed his work. Later, Ironhide lifted his head a bit, trying to sit up. But a nasty surge of pain made his circuit spark.
Ratchet?
What?
Can you get the stupid birth to sit me up? I
can't.
Ironhide rolled his good hand in a hurry-up gesture.
Come on, Ratchet. They can't see me lying down like this. Come on, Ratchet. They're coming.
Ratchet smirked briefly. He was seriously considering letting the weapons specialist sweat it out, as the humans put it. But he couldn't deny Ironhide his dignity. With the press of a button, the berth extended upward, pushing Ironhide into a sitting position. The Black Warrior shook his head with darkened optics. Then he viewed his battered armor and broken limbs.
This is pathetic. Do I look any better?
Slag, no. You were ugly before you went 5 rounds with the Decepticons.
Oh, you'll pay for that.
Ironhide!
Hey, there she is.
Thoughtfully, Ratchet offered a hand to Annabelle. She scrambled into his hand and he gave her to Ironhide. Annabelle wrapped her arms tightly around the Guardian's thumb. His forefinger stroked her back.
Hello, youngling.
Hi, you hurt?
No, I'm good.
A spark flickered from the upper portion of his injured arm to confirm his lie. He lowered his head a bit, seemed ashamed of his poor condition.
Well, from what I hear, those Decepticons aren't doing so good after tangling with you.
Yeah, they'll be feeling that beating for a few centuries.
There's no way we can thank you enough for what you did, Ironhide. You saved us.
Ironhide?
Hmm?
I made you something.
Reaching into her pink backpack, she pulled out a notebook and opened it. From inside the pages, she pulled out a piece of tinfoil, cut in the shape of a heart. She held it up for him to see.
You said Autobots don't have hearts. Here, you can have this one.
Ironhide was at a loss for words as he stared at the gift. Very delicately, he took the foil heart from her. He smiled at it a moment and stuck it to a smooth area of his chest armor, using some internal magnets to adhere it in place and keep it flat.
Thank you, Annabelle.